What's up, what's up, what's up? You good? You feeling fine? We're back again. Yep, we're back with the Renegade Master. It's a tune, man. My name is Noah Michael Smith, and you're listening to the Low Food Fitness Lifestyle Podcast. Let's rock and roll. Self-awareness. Do you have self-awareness? Yeah, you think you do? You're nodding. I see you nodding and thinking and saying, yeah, I got self-awareness. How much self-awareness do you have? Do you know what self-awareness means? A lot of y'all run around, including myself sometimes, but I'm conscious of this. So I make a real effort to be responsible for every body part and every movement that I make. It's a lot of thought pattern that goes into that. It isn't as simple as you think it is. Now, when you were learning to walk, you can't remember that. None of us can. Well, some people can. Some people can remember when they were in their womb, man. Can you believe that? But it's true. Yeah, some people can remember that far back. But anyway, most of us cannot. So I suspect, so if you look at babies or toddlers, when they're taking their first steps, there's a lot of concentration going on in there. And if you want to bring it to adulthood and know what that feels like, do you remember when you first started to drive? We had to go through all the scenarios. Yeah, looking over the rearview mirror, the side mirror, putting your car into gear, putting the clutch down for us, mind you. You know, all that stuff. You deal with the brake, deal with the steering, everything. There were so many things, indication, all those things we had to deal with. Man, when I started driving, I didn't think I was going to get it because there were so many things to do. But now you drive down the road and you get home and you wonder how you got there because your mind was just wandering and thinking about other things. You weren't thinking about moving the gears, this, that and the other. So you're going on muscle memory there. Now, I'll tell you this. Let me let you into a little secret. Come closer to the mic. There is not such thing as muscle memory. Your muscle does not have a memory. It's a figure of speech. So if I use that term, when you don't think about hands going from here to there or your feet going from here to there, if you're using your phone and you're typing out, you just know where the letters are. If you're me, if I'm doing stuff on my computer, I've got a lot of commands I use when I'm doing my work. Well, you would call them shortcuts if you use a PC. I just call them commands. Those are muscle memory. If you were to ask me, what is the command to copy? Man, what is that? Command C, I think. Yeah. And paste, command X. You see, I had to think about that. But you've got so many other different commands I use when I'm doing my work on my Mac or my laptop. And naturally, we cannot use our brains to remember everything. We've all got to put it down to the back of our mind, to subconsciousness. And the subconscious is what controls most of your body functions. Because if you don't have that, then you have to think about every single thing you do. It's the same as having voluntary muscles and involuntary muscles, right? Stripy muscles and involuntary muscles. So your involuntary muscles would be like your heart and your veins, because they got to pump the blood around your body, and you cannot have a thought pattern on those, because if you did, we'll die. Yeah, if you were to think about, hey, I've got to think about breathing. So they're involuntary muscles. Now, self-awareness is being aware of everything that you're doing and everything that's happening to you. And it's also being in touch with yourself as well. Let me explain something to you now. Tell a little story. You know how much I love my stories. This is going way, way, way back. I've only been married once, right? I've had a few girls, but I've only been married once. And my ex-wife, which I like very much, she's a really good girl. We are great friends still after all these years. My oldest child is 27 and she's the mother of my children. Anyway, my 27-year-old just graduated recently and we all had a little get-together and it brought back some memories. My ex-wife's mother was there and I had to remind her of something, man, and she was so embarrassed and she blushed because when my ex-wife took me to see her mother didn't tell me this to her face, mind you. It was in Birmingham, UK. And when we drove back to London, I got back to London. In fact, it was in the car. We were driving back in the car. And I asked Pam, her name is. I said to Pam, what did your mother think of me? Check this out. Pamela said, my mother thinks you're an opinionated, conceited, arrogant Londoner. Oh my goodness. When I reminded Sheila of that man, she was embarrassed. That's Pam's mum. She was embarrassed. She said, "No, I didn't say that." I said, "Yeah, you did, because you told me that not so directly, but, you know, that's what you thought of me." But I said to her, "That's fine, because I was that guy. And maybe I may even still be that guy. But the point is that I'm making is that I know who I am. I know that I'm that guy. It's no point you getting all upset and denying it and throwing the toys out of the pram, an expression we use here in the UK, because it's true. It's true. I had a cousin, and my mother always used to say to my cousin Stephen, 'You look like your dad.' He used to go crazy. The bottom line is that he did look like his dad." What the heck, man? So being self-aware is knowing who you are. Not just about, and I'm going to come on to functions in a moment, yeah, being aware of what you do and how you do it. But it's being knowing yourself, knowing the person that you are. Look, let's break down some of the things that Pam's mother said to me. Break down some of those things. Opinionated. Yeah, I'm an opinionated guy. I'm very opinionated. That's why you can do this podcast. You hear my opinions on this podcast. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but those people who like what I'm saying and have similar thought patterns to me, then they listen. You don't have to listen. I love you to listen. I love as many people to listen as possible. But I have an opinion. I have some things to say. And I say, yeah, I'm opinionated in the same way I am in my classes. Let's go through the other thing now. Conceited. What is conceit? Let's break that down, because we all know what opinion is. But conceited might be a little difficult. People may not know what that means, and they may be a little confused. You know, I'll give you the right definition for it. So this is how I understand it. Being conceited is being maybe a little bit of a show-off, right? And what is a show-off? So a show-off is somebody who's proud of themselves. You're proud of who you are, proud of your achievements, proud of what you do, proud of how you look. You may even be a little vain in there as well. So am I proud of what I am or who I am? Yeah. Am I proud of what I'm doing, particularly for a living? Yeah. Am I proud that I don't steal, swear, hurt people? Yeah, I'm proud of all of that. And am I vain? Do I like who I am? Do I like my looks? Yeah, because I get up on stage every single day and stand up in front of people. Right. Yeah, I look after myself, both external and internal. So am I conceited? Heck yeah. Yeah, I take that one as well. Let's go on to the other one now. Arrogant. Arrogance is a little similar to conceited, but different. Now, being arrogant is believing what you say is always right. You believe you're the best person in the room and you're the most important person in the room or in that area. Well, okay, let's wind back a little bit. I do kind of have that air of arrogance to me. Yeah, sure. But I am grounded with it as well. It's because I want to bring out the best in other people. And I believe what I do, I'm the best in my field. So arrogance could be good, arrogance could be bad, but you turn it into whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a good thing, make it a good thing. Take your arrogance and make it positive. That's what I do. Don't change it and try and suppress it, because suppressing yourself in something is not good. Yeah, we all do it, mind you, and that's another podcast going to come back to sometime. It's suppressing emotions, but let's leave that there for another time. Anyway, I feel I have an air of arrogance about me, but I have it in a good way. And that arrogance serves me well, because I use it to better people when I'm teaching, whether I'm teaching them one-on-one or doing a group lesson. Because with that arrogance comes confidence. And you cannot be sitting down in a dentist chair or a doctor's chair and he's looking in his book to see the next thing he's got to do to operate on you. You jump right out of that chair and run for your life, right? So I'm confident. And with that air of confidence, as I said a little minute ago, comes a tad of arrogance. Yeah, I'm not going to make any argument about that. And that's me, all right. So let's go on to the last thing she said now. She called me a Londoner. That's easy. You know what a Londoner is. I was born in London. Proud of it. I think London, without doubt, if I'm offending you here, I'm sorry. but I don't give a, you know, London is the best city in the world. I've been all over the world. Second may come New York. New York could run London close, but London is some city. I have lived here all my life. Even now, going to central London and I just stand and look at it. It's a beautiful city. Yeah, you go into and see those beautiful buildings. There was a time when our landscape was changing and they were making these buildings and they had these aluminium glass frames. There were so many of them popping up and they were looking so bad. And Prince Charles, the best thing he's ever done, clamped down and gave all our architects a shake up. Yeah, he woke them up a little bit and they stopped that straight away. And now it's got good. They're building and combining the modern with the old. And I really love that. I love new and old. When you hear my music, I always do that. I mix in the new with the old. Great. All that new stuff is too heavy and too bassy and not enough vocals and not enough instruments. You know what I mean by when I say not enough instruments? They're lacking instruments, man. If you go back to the 80s and particularly the 70s, some of that, what's his name? Teddy Pendergrass and the other guy there, the big guy, what's his name? Huge. Yeah, Barry White, that's the man. Barry White, you listen to that stuff, they had orchestras playing under their tunes. That's what I mean about instruments. When you hear that, it makes you want to cry with delight. Yeah, so good. But I'm diversing, aren't I? I'm diversing. Let's get back on track. So, self-awareness. Yeah, I was teaching a class on Saturday. Come out of the studio and the ballet girl went in there, Sophie. I've known Sophie for many years. Great girl. She only had two or three people in her ballet class. My class was packed, man. And then all Sophie's students started coming in bit by bit, one at a time. They're all late. I don't know why. Anyway, this one lady came in, and I know her well. I don't want to mention her name. And she was upset. She said, "Don't get in my way. I swear at you." I said, "What are you upset about?" She said, "You don't want to know." I said, yeah, tell me, let me calm you down." She went on to say that she was trying to park her car and the car park was full. Then she went to the overflow car park and that was full as well. What the heck? She was upset about that. I said, "You upset about that?" She said, "Yeah, get out of my way. I've got to get in the class." You know, man, that's just the lack of self-control. That doesn't warrant that kind of being upset over that. So I hope Sophie cheered her up and make her all calm and nice in the ballet class. Sophie's a great girl, great teacher as well. Coming back to my point is that that's just a lack of self-control. Self-awareness, self-control for me go hand in hand. Be in control of your actions. And being aware of your actions allow you to get control. Because, you know, I've said this before many a times, I rather be in someone's company who's aware of what they're doing than somebody doing something and not being aware of it. Right, let me give you an example here. So, I don't like swearing. I actually detest it. There's a lady who around me, she's one of my teachers actually, she swears a lot. She's Spanish and she does it all plain and jokingly, and the tone that she takes is actually quite pleasant, I got to say. I try to get her to stop, but that was like flogging a dead horse. But she's aware of what she's doing. If we're in a certain place or a certain company, she won't utter a swear word out of her mouth. And she keeps it. It's mainly the F word, although it's not a great word. But she says it and it's almost flippant. But she's aware that she's doing it. On the other end of the scale, I've been on a bus and a train. And there's kids, my kids and other people's kids around. And I've heard people talking and they're swearing and they don't know that they're doing it. I've had to say to them, "Hey guys, hey girls or boys, do you mind? I've got my children on the train." Generally, they turn round, yet I've got to get somebody who would retaliate and say, "I do what I want to do." But no, I've never had that. They've all been really sweet about it, no matter who they are, whether they're teenagers or older people. And they've always turned around to me and said, "Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that you were there." That's good. But there's no awareness there. They're totally unaware of their surroundings and they're totally unaware that these words are even coming out of their mouth. So here's the moral of that story is that I would rather be around the girl I was talking about who's aware of what she's doing than the people I just mentioned that do it and do not know that they're doing it. Yeah, I had this already. I've told you this driving scenario already. If someone's on your tail, it's better to be someone on your tail that's aware that they're doing it than someone who is not aware that they're doing it. You know, this makes more sense. I won't go into that again. If you want to go into that, look at Road Rage Podcast and you'll find my explanation there. We're doing grading at the moment, right? Mentioned this last weekend. We're coming up to grading. Grading's this Sunday. This coming Sunday, we're going to have a grand, big old grading. We had grading preparation Sunday gone, last Sunday. Anyway, I was teaching a couple of folks this week and I said to them when they did this kick, where were your arms? And they said, well, I think they were here or they were there. I said, no, I want you to tell me exactly where your arms were. Show me. They both put their arms in a place where they thought they would be or should be. It wasn't the case. Their hands were not there. The moral of that story is that you need to be aware of where your body parts are, particularly when you're doing an art like that. If you're doing fencing, gymnastics, anything, you've got to be aware of every single body part. You know these people when they compete. When you compete in a judging competition, something like gymnastics, which you judged on, and what's another one? My son used to do it. Snowboarding. If you're doing a half pipe and you've got to do the jumps and the twists and the turns and stuff, you're judged on how you do it. There, you've got to be totally concentrated on what your body parts are doing, i.e. your limbs, the hands, feet, legs and arms. You've got to be responsible for those. It's being responsible for your whole entire self. We do this thing called the cross punch. When your feet are in parallel stance, your body's facing the front, you take your right hand, you punch across to the left and take your left hand and you punch across to the right. And a lot of people move their head with that. Now, that'll make you all dizzy and want to fall over. So what I get the girls and boys to do is when they're punching, keep their head relatively straight, so down the front. So if you got in front of a mirror, just keep looking at yourself. They're not aware that they're turning their head like so. So if you're turning your head from to the fro, you're not looking at your technique. Having self-awareness, being responsible for you. Only you could be responsible for you, no one else. You're not a baby. Don't think any babies are listening to this show. Earlier on, I mentioned the lady that was angry because she couldn't get a parking space in a posh club. Now, when's the last time you were angry? And what were you angry for? And who did you blame for it? Yeah, you know that. You had to blame somebody. No. Any anger that builds up in you, it's your fault. It ain't someone else's fault. What you're blaming other people for. Right, let me check this out now. I had a conversation on Saturday. She texted me and I said to her, I'll call you back in a minute or so. I did not call her back. I did something and that led to another thing and something led to another thing. And she phoned me after about half an hour. And she was upset down the phone, man. I'm saying, what are you upset for? You said you were going to call me back. Okay, let's wind that back a little bit. She said, if it happened to me, I'd be upset. Well, you know what? I know myself, and she knows that it's not true. And if someone said they're going to call me back, and they don't call me back, you know what I do? I get on and do something else. I'm not going to sit there and wait for someone's call. It's a state of mind. Because if I sat there and wait for the person to call me, I would be upset. But even so, even though I get upset, it would be my fault. It's not that person's fault because I'm in control of me. I'm in control of my own mind and my own state. So here's the moral of what I'm trying to tell you here. Self-awareness gives you that control. It gives you the ability to say, hey, I'm upset here, but what is actually really making me upset? It's not the act of the person. It's my perception, how I perceive. Right, we've been here before, right? You and I. There could be three people that was expecting the call, and all three of them would have a different reaction. Yeah, one might be really upset, one might be, I'm a little bit disappointed in the person, and the other person may think, shake it off, don't mean anything to me, so what? It's perception, it's how you feel about any given incident, having those feelings in check is you being aware of you, having self-awareness, being aware of your circumstances and your feeling. Your feelings must not be blasé, because if they're such, it will take you over and ultimately consume you. Yeah? So take responsibility for your anger. Keep it in check. Control your mind. Control your mind. You are responsible for your anger, not those who you believe to have angered you. Do you know I said self-awareness comes with self-control? Have you seen that film War of the Roses? It's got nothing to do with World War I, II, or any of those other wars that go on around the world. Now, this film is something else, man. It's one of my favorite films. I bought it and downloaded it from iTunes, and it's sitting on my hard drive. I go back to that film every now and again because it is hilarious. Danny DeVito, and I cannot remember the girl's name. Yeah, she was really big back in the 90s as an actress. And it's about a husband and wife, and they really get together and they love each other so much, and they've got so much in common, and they just grow to dislike each other. I'm going to use that word I don't like to use, hate. They just grow to hate. You've got to watch this movie, man. And I'm telling you, they lose it. What's that got to do with what I'm talking about? They had no self-control, those two. They just totally lost what they were all about. Now, there's a scene in that show, and it reminds me of something that went on in my life. When Danny DeVito is coming close to her, actually, hold on a minute. Danny DeVito was playing the shrink. He wasn't the guy that was having the altercation with his wife. It was, what's that guy's name? What is that guy's name? What is his name? Name, man. I got to get his name. Michael Douglas. That's it. Michael Douglas. Yeah, that's the one. So Danny DeVito was the shrink and Michael Douglas was the crazy husband that, so he was sitting down eating his steak. He had this steak and his wife was across the table. They had this big, long table, like a king's table. You know, when the king's at the end. He was sitting down eating this steak, man, and he loved this steak. And he was digging into this steak and chewing it and nodding his head, yes, this steak is good. And she just looked at him. That look was a look of contempt. She couldn't stand his eating, his sound, the way his mouth was moving, everything. This is a guy she loved before, and now she cannot stand the air he breathes. It was an amazing film. How it got from bad to worse like that. And they just lost our self-control. Yeah, our self-control. It was self-awareness, self-control, self. Everything was out the window, man. That film's so funny. If you're married or you with a spouse, you got to watch that film just to tell you how not to do it. And that's not anything. It got from bad to worse. If you're not seeing it, I'm not going to give you any spoiler. But this... check it out. Yeah, it's an old 90s movie, and I believe they're the best films because they used to have a story, man. The story used to wind up. Nowadays, they give you a head rush. You watch a movie, you get everything in the first 5 minutes. Boom, boom, boom. You can walk out, know the plot before the film even start. But anyway, I've digressed again. I'm doing a lot of digression today, aren't I? Just having a nice chit-chat with you. It's nice to be with you today. It's really good. You having fun? You having fun talking to me? I'm having fun chatting to you. So let's get back to some self-awareness stuff now, because I'm sure you got to get on and go. I'm not going to keep you too long now. Remember, be humble. Yeah, little self-awareness goes a long way. Be responsible for every action you take, not just your physical action, your mental actions also. Nothing in life is promised, so you have to think about what you're doing. It won't just come to you. You know, when you get up out of bed, how do you know you're not going to stub your toe? You walk from one end of the street to another. You got to be aware of your steps. Don't hit that curb and fall over and try and sue the council. That ain't their fault. It's your fault. Pick your feet up, one step in front of the other. I have this technique. We call it jab, 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 cross. We got another technique very similar called uppercut jab. Both of those techniques, when you do it, you got to pick your feet up and you got to move from one to the other. Now, other classes do a similar movement, but they don't pick their feet up. They shuffle across as if they've got wheels on their shoes. No, you don't have wheels on your shoes. You ain't wearing skates. Pick your feet up and you pitter-patter across, bringing your knees up and have purpose in the step. And that's what I'm telling you to do now. Have purpose in everything you do. Have purpose in your step, purpose in your moves. Nothing in life is promised. You have to make it happen. Make that happen. I'm going to leave you with some things now. If you want to know you're on the right track, ask your friends. Get feedback from your friends. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Friends or family. And be prepared for the answers, because you got to be prepared for the good answer and the bad answer. Sit in the middle, yeah? If they give you some good news, don't be ecstatic, because if you're ecstatic with the good news, you're going to be mega depressed when they give you bad feedback. So just stay level, stay in the middle. Whatever they say, just say, okay, fine. I could make it better, or I could tone it down a little. It's just keeping a happy medium on that, yeah? And do not fix yourself on someone else's mindset. You've got your own mind, your own consciousness, your own thoughts. Remember this. You could be the only person that's right. I had it not so long ago in my class. I told everyone to do a particular turn. One boy got it right. He looked at everyone and he was about to change his hands. I said, don't do that. He's the only one that got it right. You know, you could be the only right person. So have your own mind, have your own consciousness, have your own thoughts. Be aware, have self-awareness, your self-awareness, no one else's. I'm going to leave you. You've been a great set of people to talk to. I love speaking to you. I'm going to come to you next week. We've got so many exciting shows coming up. Stay safe out there. You got me? You got to stay safe. Cheerio. Or cheerio, cheerio, baby. Don't you know I'm in love with you? If you don't believe it's true, what else are for me to do? Yeah. Y'all take care. I'll see you soon. Look after everything you've got. You've been listening to Noel Michael Smith from the Low Food Fitness Lifestyle Podcast. We love music. We love people. We love technology. We love life. Till next time. Adios.